field every time coming up from the top. And hurdles and jumping and zigging and zagging. But anyway, it is so good to be here tonight. And I hope everyone has had a great Lord's Day today. And again, I just want to praise the Lord for breath in my lungs. And to be able to stand here and to breathe properly. And I just can't praise Him enough for that great scare I had last week. And again, big thanks to Brother Brian, just doing what he does naturally, but such a big help to a friend, and I appreciate that. And again, it's just a joy to be here tonight, and I want to welcome anybody that's visiting with us. And I believe Miss BJ's daughter is with us tonight, and from Blue Ridge, is that right? Blue Ridge, Georgia. And so good to have her tonight with us in service. We were up in Blue Ridge ourselves not long ago, and we were in the little town part where all the shops are at, and that train you can ride to take the scenic route through the mountains. And of course, we weren't able to take the train to see the scenic route, but we were able to hang out in Blue Ridge a while, and what a great, great, I say calm place to live. It was real refreshing for us, but nonetheless, we like Blue Ridge, so welcome. And great service this morning, wasn't it? And Brother CJ did an outstanding job, and appreciate the thought there, Brother CJ. And we're just here. We should be here for one another, and we are. And what a great truth that was about Job and his friends being there. Our young people did an amazing job, as usual. And we just appreciate all of you young people taking a stand for the Lord and doing what you do. I tell you, it doesn't go unnoticed, and it's very inspiring for us that are older, and even for those that are younger than you. And so always remember, when you're standing up for the Lord, you're reaching to somebody beyond your age and somebody beneath your age as well, somebody a little bit younger. Tonight I want to mention a few requests. One was mentioned this morning about Brother Larry Bennett's brother, Greg, which he has cancer. It came back positive. And Greg Huffman. And a doctor installed a drain tube this afternoon to keep fluids off his lungs. And so, church, let's lift up Greg Huffman tonight, along with Brother Larry's mother, Miss Helen, and their whole family. Speaking of the Bennetts and their family, Miss Claudia texted me this morning, called me this afternoon, and she's not doing well. So, Miss Claudia, if you're watching, we're praying for you, and we love you, and hope to have you back with us soon. Several needs, but I do want to request prayer for Miss Juliana, and she's at home sick, not COVID. But she is sick. But also, hope it's okay to mention Brother Brian, but Christian's finger. We found out yesterday that he got it caught in a log splitter, got it smashed. He didn't lose his finger, I don't believe, but just the thought of having a finger caught, smashed in a log splitter, wow, that's pretty amazing right there. But let's pray for Christian, Juliana, and the family tonight. And the children's home. Appreciate all you guys and you workers, house parents, and staff. Let's remember the Teagues, Miss Connie. I know she has a couple surgeries coming up. Brother Larry was here this morning, but Miss Connie needs our prayers. Also, Rusty and Chris Watkins spoke with, by way of text, Miss Chris yesterday, and believe she's going to have some type of back treatment coming up very soon. Leonard Palmer, Miss Dolores. Miss Dolores had a rough week, and everything from a tooth extraction to a shot in the hip, I believe. And sounds like a Wild Wild West, doesn't it? And my goodness. But let's remember the Palmers tonight, and of course, Brother Leonard and his eye. And again, just pick up a prayer, or you can view our prayer list on www.calvaryministries.org. On the bulletin tab, you'll find a list of all of our prayer requests. A couple of announcements. And next Sunday is Father's Day. And there will be pies for the guys. But there's no need for the women to make pies. They're already going to be made by one person. And I believe Miss Terry, right? Miss Terry Clayton is making these pies. And so that's for the fathers on Father's Day. And thank you, Miss Terry, for that, if you're watching. And no PM service. Spend time with Dad. Spend time with your father if you still have him around. And then it's already time again for our last Sunday night fellowship. And that's on the 27th. And that's still in the working, and plans being made for that. And then looking ahead a little bit for the month of July. July the 11th at 5 p.m. we'll be having an ordination service. And we'll be ordaining Brother Brian Busby and Brother C.J. Martin as deacons and here at Calvary. And we're very, very excited about that. And so invite family and friends, if you know anybody that's ordained, that would like to sit up in the presbytery with us, that'll be welcomed as well. One more thing. The Saturday after Father's Day, Miss Marianne told me the date, but anyway, at the 26th, thank you. The 26th, Saturday after Father's Day, 1 p.m. here in the fellowship hall, there's going to be a board game day. A board game day. A board game during the day at 1 o'clock. And for all those who like board games, there's also going to be a potluck. And so it's going to be a great time of eating and playing board games. And so that is extended out to you. Anyway, got some great things on the horizon here at Calvary, trying to keep things stirred and interesting. And you just pray for these requests tonight and for the service tonight. And are you glad you're here tonight? Say amen. 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 We are as well. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Dear God, we're thankful for the message and the messenger this morning. And Lord, how it touched our hearts and how all of us from time to time experience the wheels falling off. Father, we're glad how that there's friends and loved ones that are there to pick us up, Lord, and to help us out. But tonight's a brand new service, and so we pray for the music, Lord. We pray that you would stir hearts, and we pray for the time of the message when it comes time to open your words. I pray that they will be your words, not my words, Lord. Let someone be helped tonight, possibly a soul saved and a fellow believer brought back to the cross if they're following from a distance. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. Church, if you'll take a hymn and turn to 120. Church, stand. Choir, stand. Let's sing together about the victory we have in Jesus.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his warning, of his presence much atoning.
ask you to please remember an unspoken prayer request tonight. The Lord knows all about it. Had a conversation with someone actually this morning, and so they just really stand in need of prayer. And I know that you're a praying church, and I'd ask you to please remember this person in prayer if you would. It's great to see Brother Alan Young in service with us tonight. Brother Alan, would you take us a little word of prayer? Ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering.
Said done, this moment forward, to according to worship you, to honor you, to bring
And where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm a child of the King. And it's all because I am redeemed. I'll tell of God's favor, I'll tell you of His love, I'll tell of His goodness, God's goodness to me. For He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood, and from sin I've been set free.
Again, it's a joy and privilege to be here tonight, anytime the door is open, at the church. And if you have your Bibles, let's take our Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of Psalms tonight. Psalm 91, book of Psalms. We're going to look for a few moments at verse number 3. Psalm 91, verse number 3. The Lord laid this thought upon my heart, this message, a couple weeks ago, and because of how unusual last Sunday was for me, it kind of just skipped a Sunday, but I believe the Lord has a word for us tonight out of Psalm 91 and verse number 3. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read from verse number 3. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for the things that you do. And Lord, we recognize that this is a brand new service. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give me the tongue of the learned. Lord, that you would quicken my mind, my spiritual thinking. And Holy Spirit, help me not say anything that's not from you, but only that which is from you. Communicate the truths of your word to the hearts of your people. By the time that we leave, Lord, I pray that we are a better Christian than the time that we came. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Book of Psalms, chapter number 91. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. Psalm 91, verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That's reading one verse tonight. And actually, I'd like to call your attention to a certain phrase in this verse where he says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. The snare of the fowler. The word snare here, if I could summarize it by just using one word, would be trap. Trap. Then the word fowler could be summarized with this word, trapper. And so if we read it this way, surely he shall deliver thee from the trap of the trapper. Tonight, when it comes to wildlife trapping, when it comes to catching wildlife, over in Louisiana, actually, there are people who catch alligators when it comes to wildlife trapping. A lot of TV shows are on the History Channel and National Geographic when it comes to wildlife trapping. But I got to thinking about alligators. And these people who catch alligators are called trappers, among other names. And based upon what I see and have watched and learned, that the best way to trap a gator is to have a line, a long line. And on one end of the line, you put a hook, a nice sizable hook. And on the very opposite end of the line, at the very end, you'll put some type of jug. It could even be an empty detergent jug or something like that, a milk jug. But you'll put a hook on one end of the line, and then you'll have the line itself. And then you'll have a jug on the other end of the line. But then there's a bamboo pole that's placed right there on the shoreline or off of a type of bank when it comes to the swamps of Louisiana and the bayous. And this bamboo pole, at least 5 to 8 foot long, will be dug in the ground and it'd be standing. And toward the middle part of that line, or probably toward the front of that line, it'd be placed on the top of that bamboo pole. And they would raise that line so that the hook would be about this far, about a foot from the surface of the water. And old rotten meat would be on that hook. And the reason why the line, the hook, would be about a foot off the water so that turtles won't get to it or fish won't jump out of the water and get to it. And so the whole idea is that this old rotten meat would attract the gators. And then sometimes it's immediately. Other times it's a day or two. But nonetheless, the people, the trappers, would come back and they know they have a gator because they see that jug out in the waters moving around or just in a different place. And then they will go and get the gator. Tonight, in like manner, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, the trap and the trapper. The trap and the trapper. Let us all tonight take this message as a warning. All of us that are children of God, all of us that have been born again, let us take these words from Psalm 91 and verse number 3, the snare of the fowler, or the trap and the trapper, and let them be words of warning to us that we're never safe to take a vacation from Jesus. That we're never safe to say, you know what, today I'm just going to do things on my own. I'm not going to spend any time in prayer. I'm not going to read God's word. I'll catch up. And sometimes we do play catch up, don't we? But other times, and probably more than none, when we say we're going to catch up, that time just never happens. Let us tonight take Psalm 91 in verse number 3 to heart, and to know that there is a fowler out there. There is a trapper out there that wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to take my testimony and run it through the mud, Brother Allen. The devil would love nothing more than to take my testimony as the pastor of this church, as a child of God, but then as the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, and catch me in some kind of trap, and then allow my testimony to be a reproach and to be totally obliterated in the eyes of the world. But not only me, but the devil wants to do the same for you. So tonight, let's look at a few things when it comes to the trap and the trapper. In verse number 3, number 1, let me say there's the device of the trapper. The device. Notice what he says here. He mentioned snare. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. The snare of the fowler. Now, this snare, again, is a trap. More specifically tonight, this snare would be a bird trap. Hold your place here in Psalm 91:3. Turn to Psalm 124:7, or just listen or follow along as we read. David says, our soul is escaped, listen, as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. And so tonight, as we're looking at this snare and comparing Scripture with Scripture, more specifically than just a random trap, he's talking about a bird trap. He's talking about a type of bird trap. Back in our verse, Psalm 91 and verse number 3, in just a moment I'll get back to it, but birds, listen to this, would get entangled in a net that was laid out for them by a fowler. This net that was laid out by this fowler, again, a trapper, a fowler is one who hunts wild fowl. And so this fowler would lay this trap, this net out for these birds. Now, after being caught in this bird trap, one or two things would happen back then and more specifically now. Number one, the fowl would be made for a meal, or the fowl would be made for mounted, being made to be mounted. And so this bird trap would be out. It would be this netted trap. And the fowler, the trapper, would be after these birds. And so they would be caught and entangled in this net. And for two reasons. Number one, it would be a meal, or that bird would be mounted. More specifically today, it'd be mounted. And can I tell you what the devil wants to do with his traps in your life, in mine? He wants to, number one, either devour us as a roaring lion, or he wants to mount us and put us on his shelf and say, that's the one that I took out at Calvary Baptist Church. That's the one that thought they had life by the horns. That's the one that thought that they could get away with spending time with Jesus for a week or two. That's exactly what this trapper wants to do. As a trapper would lay out their trap, they would lay out their net. And these birds would just get entangled in that net. And there's the trap. And he has them. And this fowler, this trapper, he would either eat it as a meal or mount it as a prize. My admonishment to you tonight, my challenge to you, to myself, is Don't get caught in the trap. Don't get caught in this mindset where you may think that it's okay to do thus and such, but ultimately it's causing a negative impact on your life. If it draws you away from God, if it draws you away from your steadfastness with Jesus, it's not from God, but it's a trap. Those watching tonight on Facebook, you may be dabbling in with some kind of this or that. And maybe you're justifying why you're doing what you're doing. Oh, I'm stressed. I'll just take a little drink. Oh, you just don't understand, Brother Justin, how things are at work. I'm stressed on every end, and I'm smoking. Whatever it is that we may be trying, notice, we may be trying to justify. None of us are exempt. It is a trap tonight. There is a snare that is laid out by the devil himself to catch you, entangle you, and devour you, and cause a reproach upon the name of the Lord that you have proclaimed so faithfully through the years. Listen, although we have been going through a pandemic, and it seems like, Brother Ceylon, we're on the other end of it. I don't know. I hope. And people's been working from home, and we've been doing things digitally, and by Facebook and all, you know, just because we've been at home and just because it's been from a digital standpoint doesn't mean that we're all safe. Listen, the devil can get in your home. If he can't get you at church, he will get you at home. And so none of us are safe tonight. Although we've been at home and those are at home tonight worshiping the Lord. And listen, the devil can get us digitally in the home. So as we look at the device of the trapper, we see that it's a snare. It's a bird trap that's netted to catch birds. And this fowler, this trapper, would either make a meal out of the catch or mount it. Remind himself of what he can do with someone who has their guard down. Now, this device, stay with me tonight. This device, this trap, wasn't easily noticed. Now, if it was easily noticed, then a bird would not go into it. Has anybody ever tried to catch a bird? Well, what is it? That old cartoon, trying to catch the Tweety Bird all the time? Who was that? Sylvester the Cat or something? That goes back a little ways. Always trying to catch the Tweety Bird. Goes like that, and that bird just... You can't catch a bird like that. Has anybody ever seen Rocky trying to catch that chicken? One of those earlier versions of Rocky? My goodness. The only chicken I catch is a KFC. Already made. And so that's, you know, it's hard to catch something that's looking, that can see a trap. And so therefore a trap is laid out because it's not easily noticed. And when a bird is caught, it's caught unexpectedly and suddenly. The devil tonight is not going to show up at your house and wave a flag that says, I got victory over this one today. I'm going to destroy your life today. I'm going to take you down this morning by some negative thought. I'm going to ruin your day by the spirit of fear. Listen, the devil doesn't do that. He comes in unnoticedly, unexpectedly. He comes in at times suddenly. That's why it's so important to stay in tune and have a tight, knitted relationship with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says this, just listen. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That word advantage in this verse, 2 Corinthians 2:11. It means to have more of a greater part. It means to have a share, if you would. It means to have a share. It means to have the greater part of. Lest Satan should get a share of us. Lest Satan should get a greater part of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, don't give the devil a share. Don't allow Satan to have advantage over you, to have a greater part over you than the Lord does. He can use any kind of device. He can use a device like you see we're recording tonight. He can use a cellular device. He can use, again, all the digital kind of devices that you can think. He can use that. When it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Devices just simply means evil purposes. Phones and internet could be used for good. We've been using it for good for over a year on Facebook. But also the internet can be used for evil purposes. Can I bring up TikTok tonight? Can I bring up how evil, listen, any app can be evil, but that TikTok app has been used for so much evil. So many children have been a predator to the prey, to the trapper, and human sex trafficking, and all of those things. You know, there was a man on the news the other night who got his home raided and busted and had over 200 images of children in nude on his internet. Sick. Absolutely sick. And we can go on and on, but the devil can use anything for an evil purpose. Again, the devil uses, he can use emotions to get his advantage over us. He can use a cross word from a brother or sister, a family member, a friend. The devil can use an experience in life that we don't agree with that has come into our life. And if we're not careful to go to God in prayer and know that God is providential, it'd be easy to listen to the devil. Sometimes he might say, oh, God doesn't love you. If Jesus loved you, then you would not have been at the cemetery last week. If Jesus loved you, then you wouldn't have come down with this cancer. If Jesus loved you, you wouldn't have lost your job when mortgages do. Listen, the truth of the matter is, we serve a God that's providential, and he takes care of his children. We may not always understand how he does that, but the trapper comes along, and he gets advantage over us when we take our eyes off the Lord and we try to make sense out of what's going on in our life. He has evil purposes. Let's not give the devil any shares tonight. No shares for him. No shares. We're not allowing the devil to have a greater part in our life than the Lord. No part at all. So that goes back to my first point tonight. When it comes to the trap and the trapper, the device of the trapper, it's a snare, a net, a trap. Now, have you noticed when an animal gets caught in a trap, how crazy they get? I mean, they go absolutely berserk. And that's what happens in the life of a believer. Listen, it ought not to shock us when somebody's caught in a trap and their church attendance falls off. Now, we ought to go after them and be a friend to them and help them. But have you ever noticed how a church member or a friend, family member, anybody, especially those who know the Lord, something happens and then they go off the deep end and it's just wreck and ruin in their life. I mean, they don't even look the same anymore. Church attendance is off. They don't show up for family functions. All of these things are happening. They're going crazy. They're in a trap. And listen, you can't hide being in a trap. It's not easily hid when you're living in sin and you've taken the bait. You swallow the lure. Now it's hook, line, and sinker. It's not, you can't hide it all the time. Some people, they hide it as long as they can, but then it begins to show on their face. And you look into someone's eyes and you see their soul and you know that you're not judging them. You're not trying to cast stones at them. But you look at them, you haven't seen them in a while, and you look at them in their eyes and you know they've been out in the world. You know they've been in sin. Thank God for Galatians 6:1. We see a brother in such a state that we're to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. when we do find that struggling brother or sister, we're not to say, oh, you big sinner, backslid on God. No, no, no. Because guess what? It could be you. It could be me. But when we look into the eyes of those who are going crazy because of sin, we're to say, listen, we love you. Would you come back to church? Let us love on you. Nobody's here to judge. Nobody's here to cast stones. And none of those things. We are here to restore. But if you ever see an animal that's trapped, not too long ago, we took a day trip. We get to take one big vacation or little day trips throughout the year. We went to Callaway Gardens where we were on bikes. Everything nowadays seemingly is revolved around exercise, which is good. Callaway Gardens. But then we went to Wild Animal Safari. Has anybody ever been to that? Wild Animal Safari. Man, I thought it was so much more than it was. Man. And buddy, it cost a pretty penny too. Anyway, we rented a van, we got in the van, made our little loop, seen all the wild animals. But what was more impressive to me than all of that was doing the little, what they call a walkabout. This little area where there's a lot of caged in animals. There was a lion in there. It was a really dark room. It was real hot, a lot of snakes. I didn't go into that one. But there was a baboon. I remember this baboon. He looked evil. Lily leaned up close to that enclosure. I said, whoa, now, don't get too close. And she did something, made a little face to that baboon or something. And then all of a sudden, that baboon, he was sitting up high, but he jumped down, ran right really fast to the cage. He went like this, propped his arm, went like that. And he stared at Lily. I said, oh, my goodness. Are you big red nose? And then he kind of cut eyes at me. I'm thinking, this thing is crazy. Wild bamboo. Is that what I said? Babu. Whatever. Starts with a B. Baboon. And I'm not going to talk about what all this animal looked like because his hiney was shaved. His hiney was bare. Anyway, he was crazy looking. But you know what? Rightfully so, he was crazy. Because he was caged. Wild animal caged. They're meant to live not in captivity, but in their own regions of the world. There's a lot of people who are trapped tonight. There's a lot of people who are in the enclosures of sin that at one time they thought they had it. I was thinking the other day about this old movie when I grew up called The Goonies. I wasn't going to mention it, but I have to. You know, from time to time when I want to be reminded of how things used to be when I was little, I'll watch it. But there's this chubby kid, and I forgot his name, maybe Chunk or something like that. And That's him. They were in this underground room, and he had this big water tank, and he bumped it trying to get to the ice cream, and that thing started moving. He goes, I got it. Don't got it. And the big water tank busted. He tried to get it and recover it, and it busted. I was just walking through the house the other day, meditating on this, doing something, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of people like Chunk. Me, not excluded. I got it, Lord. I got it. The wheels fall off. I don't got it. Did you know that God is so good tonight? He will allow you to recognize that you don't got it. There are times when we try to correct ourselves, and we should. But there are times where the wheels fall off, and man, we don't got it. And God is so good. He will correct us. He will chastise us. But many times, He'll just let us see that we don't got it all on our own, and He don't even have to do nothing. These animals, they go crazy in these cages, and these birds are caught in this trap. Tonight, don't be caught in the trap. Let me say the same goes for us. The devil is the trapper, and he wants God's people in the trap. Now, let me say this before we move on. There are different kind of traps or different snares or there's a few different ways that we get caught up if we're not careful. Sometimes these traps, these snares, they come suddenly. Brother CJ read the story this morning about Job, how that suddenly it came and it happened. And we know the devil had charge, although God was providential, the devil had charge over that. And sometimes the devil moves in on our path suddenly. But then there's not only the snare of suddenness, but there's the snare of seducing or seduction. And that is that certain thing in your life, in mine, that we see it and we gotta have it. We see it and we gotta have it. It's like that nice, beautiful fishing lure. Bought one a few weeks ago, and CJ's family and us, we all went down there to Allatoona, went fishing, stopped by Walmart. You got to go by Walmart before you go fishing. And bought a few lures. You guys, Lily Mouse, I got to have this. I want this. Anyway, long story short, just had this bright, I like these spinner baits. It was about big as my hand. Had a little, rubber, the rubber side of it, but then it was bright orange. It was bright green. I said, man, for sure this bass is going to like this. And so you throw the line out in the water, and you know how it goes. You reel it in. I'm reeling it to the dock, to the boat. And I could just see it, the sun shining on it. I'm like, man, if I was a bass, I'd eat that. Why ain't this bass, why ain't these fish eating my lure? I just cast this to see it, watch it in the water. I'm like, wow, look at that. I'm telling you, I'd eat that if I was a bass. Change the lures, get a nice little, jig or a worm on there. Man, I'd eat that if I was a fish. If I'm thinking that way, you know what a fish is thinking. Although it's not biting my line. The bait. There are different things in life that the devil uses to try to seduce us. So a snare is the things that seduce, that he can bring us in. Sometimes these things happen suddenly, but then another kind of snare or an approach is for slavery. It's for slaving. Ultimately, the devil wants to keep us in a trap. He wants us to be in bondage, would be the end game for the devil. Suddenness, seducing, and slaving, different snares. Number one, we see the device of the trapper. But number two, in verse number three, I want you to notice something else. We see the description of the trapper. Now, he says in verse number 3, Psalm 91, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. He mentions fowler. Of course, this is the description of a trapper or person who hunts wild fowl. And as I said a moment ago, the ultimate goal of a trapper using a trap or snare is to bring peril, loss, and ultimately destruction to a person's life. That's the ultimate goal of the trapper. But his description is fowler, person who hunts wild fowl. And again, he'll do either one or two things. Make a meal or mount us up. Make a meal or mount us up. Don't be that Christian tonight. Let me give you an illustration of the description of this fowler and really how some people think about the devil. At Georgia Tech, back when I was working at Georgia Tech, you've probably heard me say this before, but on Fridays in the common area, they would have students and their organizations, they'll set up little tables and they had things that they were introducing to other students, different clubs. There was a specific table there that the atheist had. This is the truth. The atheist had a table. They sold shirts. They sold socks. They sold bracelets and necklaces. They sold all kinds of things like that. Shirts, again, toboggans. And here's what they said. Some of them said, going to hell in style. Others said, Satan is my drinking buddy. Satan is my homeboy. There's going to be a party in hell, and I'll be the main one. Mockery. And I want to tell you the righteousness, indignation of Jesus built up in me, and I balled both fists up every time I walked past that thing on Fridays. You know, fairly newly saved. But there was also a rapper that made the headlines. This is something different not long ago. Listen to this. He actually came out with a pair of Nikes, and it was done in the wrong way. He had no licensing deal or anything. It was a rapper who had a pair of Nikes. He wrote scripture on the front, and on the back it said 666. And supposedly there was a drop of real human blood in the sole of each shoe. Think about that. And did you know he put them on the market and they were sold out? I'm talking about sold out. They were like $800 a pair. Of course, he got sued. And those were done away with. People think that the devil is their friend. People think that the devil is a buddy. But I got news, and I want to address mainly the college agers of our day. The college agers and all the people of the world. But Satan is not your homeboy. He is your adversary tonight. He wants to seek you out. He wants to lure you in. He wants to kill you, destroy your home. He's not wanting a high five. He wants you on his trophy shelf to say, that's what I can do with a gullible Christian. That's what I can do with a millennial. That's what I can do with someone who has their head buried in the sand. My admonition, my challenge to the church tonight is don't take the bait. Don't go nowhere near the bait. A lot of people like to do this. They like to go as close to the edge as they can. Without falling over. They get close. Oh, well, drink here and there don't help. Don't hurt. Ask yourself this question. What do you want to do when you get tipsy? You're going to want another one. And listen, I'm just telling you the truth tonight. A little drink here and there. I'll take a risk of blowing my testimony over this. A little drink here or there. A little smoke here or there. You know, pot's grown from the earth. God put it here to smoke. Don't you tell me that. Don't you tell me that. I'll justify this wrestling match we're about to have. A little bit of this, a little bit of, I'm just going to stay home and worship. And listen, I know. But we are yet to assemble ourselves together in the house of the Lord. Listen, don't fall for the trap of drugs and alcohol. Don't fall for the trap of getting out of church and staying out of church. Thank God for Facebook, but Facebook was not God's intent forever. Amen. The devil works with fear. God doesn't work with fear. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, of a sound mind. We like to get as close as we can. Chunk, got it. Don't got it. All four tires are flat. Tonight, this is the description of the trapper. He's a person who's after you. He's after me. And we're not living in fear because of this, but we're recognizing our adversary. We are developing a plan, a battle plan. While much of the world thinks that the devil is their homeboy, he's not real. He is a man who is red with a big pitchfork in his hand. That's only in the funny papers. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. One more thing and I'll be through. We see the description of the trapper in verse 3. But what about the deliverance from the trapper in verse 3? Notice what he says. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. We're not getting on the noisome pestilence tonight. We're focusing on the snare of the fowler. But he does mention, David mentions here that there is deliverance. There's deliverance. And so when you break it down and you look at it, there's really only two ways to deal with the trapper's trap. Number one, stay out. Number two, get out. Let me say, staying out is a whole lot easier than getting out. I want to say that again. There's two ways to deal with the devil's traps. You stay out, or if you're in, you get out. But staying out is a whole lot easier than trying to get out of one of those traps. Remember what the Bible says about Moses in Hebrews, that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. He chose to stay out as opposed to get out. Now, if we stay out, that means we keep our eyes on Jesus. And if we get out, that means we get our eyes on Jesus. We're either keeping our eyes on Jesus to stay out, or we're getting our eyes on Jesus to get out. Now, I want you to notice here in verse number 3 that these are the words of one who is dwelling in that secret place. He says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Look in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. These are words of one who is dwelling under, or is dwelling in that secret place under the shadow of the Almighty. Their eyes are on Jesus. And he is allowing victory in their life. Now, look if you would in verse number 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers. We're talking about birds. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And so in verse number 4, God is that mother eagle once again. You remember the eagle that Moses was talking about, and how that God was like a mother eagle, was like that eagle, and bore the children of Israel on eagle's wings and to bring them to himself. And how that he stirs the nest, and how that he agitates things, so makes them uncomfortable, so they'll get out of the nest and fly. Isn't it something? We're talking about a snare and a fowler. So we're kind of like still little eaglets. And God has got us out of the nest. We're trying to fly for the Lord, but there's a trapper out there, and he wants to trap us up. And he wants us to make us his meal. And so he tells us to dwell in his shadow, to stay under his wings, under his feathers. One more thing. He mentions here in verse number 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers. He says, under his wings shalt thou trust. Here he talks about being under the wings for protection. Back in Deuteronomy, he was talking about being on the wings for flying. So the Lord will teach us. He'll give us flying lessons on how to fly in faith, to trust him. But praise the Lord, tonight there's a time where he'll just overshadow us if we look to him. Even there are times where he keeps us safe and we don't even look to him, but he covers us with his feathers and protects his eaglets. He protects us tonight, what I'm trying to say. So he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth shall surround the person, shall be our shield. So the deliverance from the trapper has to do with keeping our eyes on Jesus. Our deliverance has to do with staying with the Almighty, abiding in him, going to him in prayer, staying in his word, involving ourselves corporately with the church in events, fellowship, even things outside of the church, just staying connected, never isolate. Now, Turn to Psalm 124 again in verse number 7 as they come. Psalm 124, verse 7. David says, well, just read from verse, let's start from verse number 1. Psalm 124, verse 1. If it, what are we just saying? We sang it tonight. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare, listen to this, the snare is broken. And we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Tonight, if there is a trap that has you, if you are in some kind of snare, it can be broken. It can be broken. Your soul can be free again. You can feel good about yourself again. You can come back to church again. And for those that are here, you can worship the Lord again because there's deliverance from this trapper. It's a matter of staying out or getting out. If you're in, you can get out. He can break the snare. If you're out and all is well for you tonight, stay out of the trap, that is. Getting out. Again, the Lord has a way of getting us out. The deliverance from the trapper. And again, as we conclude tonight, Psalm 91, verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. That's the message, the trap and the trapper. Let's stand to our feet tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Wonder if there's someone here who is trapped. You need to be liberated. You need to be set free. As the song says, like a bird out of prison. And this invitation is for you. On the flip side, maybe you are free and you just want to praise the Lord. Well, guess what? That's what this altar is here for. It's for prayer and it's for praise. Whatever the Lord may be speaking to you about, those watching, now is the time for the invitation. As we sing,